Somebody give God a hand clap of praise all over this house. Oh, did anybody come to give God praise? Did anybody come with an expectation that God is going to move in this place? Did anybody come expecting God to do something in your life? Or did you come to stay the way that you are? Did you come to be changed tonight? Mighty God, we love you, Jesus. We magnify your holy name, oh God. You are worthy to be praised. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Always an honor to preach at home. Thank God for my pastor. Anybody thank God for their pastor and their family? Amen. Thankful for my wife tonight. Thankful for my children. My three beautiful children. We are expecting. So we are excited. We got to grow the church some way or another, and I'm going to try to do my part. Somebody say amen. Amen. Just glad to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't we get into the word tonight? 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar passage of scripture. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." For just a moment, I want to preach on this title, this simple thought. This is our day. This is our day. If you would, put your Bibles down. Cry out to God right now. We love you, Jesus. Your word is perfect, God. We need you in this place, oh God. I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay. I pray that you would touch my thoughts, oh God. Help my mind, oh God. I pray you would give me strength and understanding, oh God. I pray that somebody would be touched by the Holy Ghost today, oh God. I pray that your spirit would continue to move. Somebody lift up your voice right now. Go ahead and cry out to God. I pray, oh God, that you would do a work in this house. I pray that every soul that needs to be saved is saved tonight. Everybody that needs to be baptized is baptized in Jesus' name tonight. I pray, oh God, that your spirit come, oh God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Jesus, you're my strength and my redeemer. And let everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul Harvey was one of the most famous radio personalities of the 20th century. In 1964, he would write an essay that would talk about what steps he might take in order to corrupt human civilization and the United States in particular and lead it down the path of darkness. The essay was entitled, "If I Were the Devil," and it reads, "If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I would want to engulf the whole earth in darkness. I have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I would not be happy until I seize the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I should set about however necessary to take over the United States. I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good and what is good is square. In the ears of the young married, I would whisper that work is debasing, that cocktail parties are good for you. I would caution them not to be extreme in religion, in patriotism, or in moral conduct. In the old, I would teach to pray, to say after me, our Father, which art in Washington. Then I get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I threaten TV with dirtier movies. I infiltrate unions and urge more loafing and less work because idle hands usually work for me. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction, and I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I will encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. With flattery and promises of power, I would get the courts to vote against God in favor of pornography. Thus, I would evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, then from all the houses of Congress. Then in his own churches, I substitute psychology for religion and deify science. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I have killed the incentive of the ambitious. I'd convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and that what you see on TV is the way to be. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep on doing right what I'm doing. Does this sound like the world that we're living in? The Bible warns us about the last days. It tells us that we would hear of wars and rumors of wars. It tells us that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom shall rise against kingdom. It tells us that many false prophets shall arise. I'm here to tell you, we're living in the last days. We are living in the most crucial era of man's existence, and darkness seems to engulf our world, as stated in Paul Harvey's address 56 years ago. And I've got news for you. It is not getting any better. We are living in the last days. There's never been a time like this. With the rapid expansion of technology, medical advancement that extend human life far beyond previous generations. In the last 40 years, the Earth's population has doubled. In the last 10, the internet and social media have completely transformed the way that we live. This generation is acclaimed to be the most enlightened ever. Access to media at any moment of the day has become available to everyone. Mothers, fathers, children, and even babies. Facebook gives us a false sense of connection. Instagram has changed the way we see each other as well as the way we see the world. Twitter has transformed the way that we communicate. Television is an invention that allows you to be entertained in your living room by people you would never let in your home. I'm telling somebody, we're living in the last days. School shootings have become normal. Riots in our city. Civil unrest. Our world is right in the middle of what Paul warned Timothy about. We are living in the last days. Look at your neighbor and say, this is our day. These are the cards that we've been dealt. This is the day that God has chosen for you to live in. But if there is ever a day that the church needs to stand up and be the church, if there was ever an hour that the church needs to stand up and be the church, it's right now, in the midst of civil unrest, in the midst of all of the circumstances and all of the chaos of the day. Somebody needs to stand up and be the people of God. The church has got to stand up. The church has got to rise. The church has got to do what the church was destined and created to do. Right now, today, is the day of salvation. It's a day where apostolics need to stand up and say, I know the day is rough. I understand that there's much chaos. I understand that it's dark, and I understand that it's full of sin. But this is my day. This is my responsibility. But this is my opportunity to show forth the praises of He that has called me out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I wish the church will stand up tonight and be the church of the living God in 2020, in the midst of coronavirus, in the midst of civil unrest, in the midst of racial tension. We got to stand up and be the church. We've got to stand up and be the people of the name. We've got to stand up and be the people of the blood. We've got to come to the house of God and let the world know there's a place where God is. There's a place where God dwells. And there's a place where hearts and souls can be changed. Somebody say amen. I wonder, is there anybody in this house that's not afraid? That won't back up, that won't shut down, that's not willing to just let the pressure of the day push you out, but will rise up in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the sin, and stand up for truth and hold up the principles of the word of God and hold up a book in a dark day. I'm telling somebody, the darker the day, the brighter the lights. It's time for the church to stand. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24 about a man named Noah who was in a similar situation. The Bible says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And in Genesis chapter 6 and 5, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. 6 chapters into the word of the Lord, the world is going crazy, sin is at an all-time high, and God is looking throughout the earth, and he finds people who have turned away from him. And the Bible says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The day was dark. The day was rough. The day was tough. But the Bible gives us hope in verse 8. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a day when nobody else was willing to stand for truth, Noah stands for truth. A day where the imagination of the thoughts were only evil continually, we find Noah set apart. And God looks down in the middle of the sin, and in the middle of the chaos, and in the middle of a world that has turned away from him, and he sees the one that's ready and willing to take on the challenge of the day. I wonder, is there somebody in this house that understands the times and understands that God is still on the throne? I know it's dark outside. I know it's a rough day. I know there's sin, but God is still on the throne. You see, there will always be somebody living for God. Always. No silent years. God's always speaking, holding up the principles of his word, carrying out the plan in the earth. Somebody willing to say, this is my day, this is my moment, this is my opportunity. I've got to win somebody to the kingdom of God. I've got to go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come, because it's my responsibility. It's a tough world we live in, but last time I checked, God's still on the throne. Last time I checked, God's still doing what he's doing. And the world is doing what the world is supposed to do. Everything that's happening, the Bible talks about, it's biblical of sorts. It didn't catch God off guard. God knows exactly what's going on in the earth. But God also had a church. God also had a prepared place. God also had a people of the name of Jesus that's willing to meet the challenges of the day. I wonder, is there anybody in this house ready and willing and able to take responsibility and shoulder up under the burden of the day? I know it's 2020. I know it's tough, but God is on the throne, and God wants to see if there's anybody that's willing to ride this thing out with him. Find ourselves in a tough situation, faced with the problems of the world. But just like Noah, I believe that there is a generation of apostolics who are ready for the challenge of this day. I believe that there are some people under the sound of my voice that have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm telling you, it's not by happenstance that you live in the day that you live in. You've got to stand up and understand that God doesn't make mistakes. God knew exactly who needed to be standing in the middle of all of this chaos, in the middle of all of this trouble, in the middle of all of this sin, and stand for truth and be able to stand bold as a lion in the face of the enemy with God on your side, understanding this is my day. I want to see revival. I want to see revival in my day. I want to see revival in my time. I want to be able to see somebody getting out of a wheelchair. I want to be able to see blinded eyes open. God. I want to see it. I know we read about it in the Word of God, and we read about the greats of the Word of God like Moses and David and Paul. And it's easy for us to just camp out and lean on their accounts. It's some pretty amazing stuff in this book. And it's so easy for us to just cling to the book. And it's so easy for us to just lean on the examples that they've set and what wonderful examples that they've set. And it's so easy to get in a place where you think God's done. But I believe I'm talking to a people that were brought to a kingdom for such a time as this. And God won't outdo himself. He's not going to do something less than what he did before. God is going to do something great. Like Brother Booker, your dad preaches, God is just getting started. He's just now getting started. He just needs some people to stand up and get on board with the plan of God. And we can see revival in this day. And we can see the world change. And we can see the city change. Because at some point, Moses had to take ownership of his time frame. David had to take ownership of the plan of God. And I'm telling somebody under the sound of my voice, you've got to stand up and take ownership and shoulder up under the responsibility of a world that's going crazy, of a world that's turning to sin, of a world that's in chaos, and stand up and say, this is my day. This is my moment. This is my opportunity. I believe the sun has set on the lives of the greats and has risen for this generation. You see, this day didn't catch God off guard. Before we were ever faced with this day, God had a plan. God had a remedy. We find the answer to the last day dilemma in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost had just been poured out. And it was noised abroad, and the multitude came and were amazed and marveled. And others came mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I've come to tell somebody that the answer to this last and wicked day dilemma is an apostolic Pentecostal Holy Ghost revival. I know it's tough outside. I know it's rough outside. I know everybody's going crazy and losing their mind. But if the church could stand up in 2020 and be the church, if we can be the hospital, if we can be the dwelling place, if we can be the place to say, come on in from out of the cold, the church is still rocking on. I know sin abounds, but where sin abounds, grace does much more. And there's nothing, hear me, there's nothing that can stop the church of the living God. Somebody needs to get a hold of what I'm preaching today. Somebody needs to get up on your feet. If you believe what I'm talking about right now, you ought to clap your hands if you believe it. You ought to clap your hands if you want to be a part of that church. But whenever I get to preaching like this, I see a lot of people looking around saying, he can't be talking to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God tells you, you're going to do something really big. And you look past like, who is he talking to? I know he's not talking to me. But I'm talking to every individual under the sound of my voice. you saying, I'm not capable. I can't make a difference in the 7.5 billion people that make up the world. I'm just a speck on a speck on a speck. But I'm telling you, you have this treasure in earthen vessels, and there is something dwelling on the inside of you that allows you to go, and that allows you to do, and that allows you to be. And you've got to stand up in the middle of it and take ownership of what God has given you. God didn't give you that so you can stay silent. God didn't give you that so you can sit on it, but God expects a return on his investment. The problems of this world are way too big for me. I don't have what the world needs. Listen to this preacher tonight. I'm here to tell you that this is your day. And you have everything you need in order to facilitate and be effective in the harvest of God, to turn your world upside down. God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. And God has something for you to do in his kingdom. There's this disease going around Pentecost that says, only if I'm a preacher can I do something great for the kingdom of God. Anybody heard that?
We don't have that.
We don't. And people think that unless I'm in positions of authority or out in front of the people, that these are the only people that are effective in the harvest of God. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Everybody under the sound of my voice has a contribution to make. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what neighborhood you grew up in. You've got something to do in the house of the Lord. You've got to get an attitude about this thing. And you've got to say, God, I don't know what you'll find for my hands to do, but God, I'll bring you my hands. God, whatever you want to do with them. God, if you can use anything, you can use me. God, if you can use him, you can use me. God, I know I don't have a lot to offer, but you can use me. We read in the Word of God, Exodus chapter 17. Read about Moses. And Moses is fighting against the Amalekites. And there's a war there. And he sends Joshua to the battle. And as he sends Joshua to the battle, he says, I'm going to go up the hill. And he goes up the hill, but he brings a couple people with him. A man by the name of Aaron and a man by the name of Hur. And they go up to the top of the hill, and he's got his staff in his hand. And he holds up his staff. And as long as he's got his hands raised, they are winning the battle. But if his hands begin to slip and fall, they start to lose. I need some help tonight, brother. I need you to help me. I need brother Stephen. That's right. Brother Dawson, I'm going to keep it the quarantine circle so we can stay safe in here. And Moses is at the top of the hill, and the battle is raging on, and the battle is happening, and Moses lifts up his staff, and he's holding it over the battle. And as he's holding it over the battle, the Bible says that his hands begin to get weary. I don't know if these hands can get weary. He don't get tired. But just follow me. Act like he ain't strong enough. And he's holding his hands up. And his hands get a little weary, and they start to fall. And he gets a man by the name of Aaron, and he gets a man by the name of Hur. The Bible says they stay steady, the hands of the man of God. He sits on a rock, and they lift up his hands. Somebody got to get a hold of what I'm preaching right now. I'm telling somebody in this place, if this right here is your only job, do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your might. Do it with all of your spirit. If all you got to do is hold up the hands of the man of God, you got to do it with everything that's in you. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that every time his hands drop, they will lose the battle. Brother Sutton can do a lot of things. He's an amazing individual. But I'm telling you that he can't do it by himself. He needs people on the side of him that might not get an opportunity to be out front, but all they're doing is holding up the hands of the man of God. And we've got to do it with all of our might. We've got to do it with all of our strength. Thank you. Thank you. We need all hands on deck. There's a revival coming. I believe it with everything that's in me. I believe that God is going to fill this place up. Does anybody believe what I'm talking about? God's going to fill this place up. But he doesn't need people getting bitter because they're not out front. He just needs you to take your hands and say, God, whatever you need me to do, whatever you want me to do, God, if I got to hold up the hands of the man of God, I'll do it. If I'm a piano player and I'm waiting to play and I've been practicing my skill, you got to find Lindsay or Sam and hold up the hands of the piano player. Everybody is a part of revival. Everybody is a part of revival. Everybody is a part of revival. Sister Ashley, I saw you the other day. Nobody else was up here. You was cleaning. Just doing your job. But if your only job is to hold a broom, you are a soul winner. You are a part of revival. You are a part of the answer to this world's problems right now. Brother Booker already talked about it, but Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, if your only job is to rock the baby to sleep, you're a part of revival. You're a part of the kingdom of God. And God honors that. God sees when you're on the backside of a hill. God sees when you're in a classroom teaching your heart out, not taking days off because nobody else is watching. God sees you when you're tucked away in your prayer room and you're praying for revival and you're praying for direction and you're praying for understanding. God sees it. Don't get discouraged. Don't get weary in well-doing. Just keep on doing what you're doing. God is he's fascinated with what you're doing, and he's glad that you're doing it, but you got to keep on. If the fame ever comes, it comes, but we're not looking for any of that. This is God's business. This is the kingdom of God. Whether you're preaching or singing or cleaning a room, you're doing the work of God, and do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your might. Media team, during this COVID season, they're the real MVPs. Amen. Amen. You know what they're doing? If your only job is to push one button and turn it live, you have no clue who's going to come through that feed. You have no clue who we're dealing with. I'm telling you, don't take what you do for granted, because don't despise the day of small things, because small things become big things, and small jobs in the kingdom of God become big jobs in the kingdom of God, where you've got somebody sitting on the front row that said, the only reason that I'm here is because I found you online. The only reason that I'm here is because somebody pushed the button for Facebook Live. Just do it with anointing. Push the button in the Holy Ghost. Rock the baby in the Holy Ghost. Sweep the floors in the Holy Ghost. But if God has called you to preach, preach with everything that's in you. As God gives understanding and as God gets the glory, there's nothing good in me. There's nothing good in you. But with God, all things are possible. And if God can use me, God can use you. I want to tell somebody today, you've got to get a hold of this. This is our day. God doesn't make mistakes. Let me tell you something. God could do it, but David might not come through that door, and Moses might not come through that door. Let me tell you another secret. God's not looking for another Moses. He's not looking for another David. God is looking for you because the world has never seen a fingerprint like yours, and the world has never seen the contribution that you're going to make. It may be similar work. It may be something that somebody has already worked in, but you walk and you do it with all of your heart, with all of your might, and with all of your strength. Dr. King talks about if you're a sweet sweeper, that's a tough word to say. Street sweeper. He said, if that's what you do, do it like Michelangelo painted pictures. Do it like Beethoven can compose music. Do it with everything that's in you so that they will look down from heaven and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his lot well more than anybody else that ever did the job. Whatever you're doing in the house of the Lord is important to God. Whatever you're doing in the house of the Lord is bringing souls to the revival that God is pouring out in this city. I'm telling somebody, we can win this city if you get about the business of the kingdom of God. It comes with an attitude, and it comes with an understanding that nobody else is going to do it. This is my day. This is our moment. This is our opportunity. I'm telling you that everything that's going on in the world is a perfect opportunity for the church of the living God. We should be shining as bright as we've ever shined. We should be literally a church set up on a hill so that the world can know that there's a difference in the world. But there has to be a clear line of distinction. We've got to draw some lines, church. We've got to draw some lines in the sand. We can't let our heart beat with the world's heartbeat. We can't walk lockstep with the world. As a matter of fact, walk with me. I'll try to keep my distance. You take a step, and I'll try to walk with you. But this is not what we're doing. Well, this is not what some people in the church are doing. Take a step. We wait on the world to take a step. And then we figure out, well, we want to plant our foot. The church was never intended to follow. The church was intended to lead. And we've got to lead by the kingdom of God and by the word of God. And if you've got an answer that's outside of the book, you need to go back to the book and find the right answer. Because I'm telling you, it's the wrong answer. The only answer is the kingdom of God. The only answer is the church of the living God. There's no answers outside of the book. We live in a cancel culture. If you say something they don't like, you cancel. Done. But what's happening is, instead of canceling anything that's antithetical to the word of God, people are canceling the word of God itself. We got to get back to the book. We've got to look in the scripture, and we've got to say, okay, there's a lot of problems going on in the world, but God has intended to win, and God has a church, but somebody's got to be a part of the church. The only thing predestined is the church of the living God. People aren't predestined. The church is predestined. So you've got to say, if I'm on the outside, I've got to get in the boat so that I can make it to heaven and so that I can be predestined to win. Every other kingdom is coming down. He tell you something. It's not in politics. It's not in Democrat or Republican. It's not in Donald Trump. It's not in Barack Obama. It's not in Joe Biden. All right. The only thing that's going to matter at the end of the day is, was the church in 2020? Was the pulpit preaching from the word of God? Was the pulpit telling you what thus saith the word of God? Was the pulpit letting you know this is sin and this is right? You can walk here, but you can't walk here. We've got to get back to the book. We've got to draw some lines today. If we don't draw lines, the world doesn't know what to come. If you just hook up to everything that the world is screaming about, then you're no different from most of the people out there in the street. You've got to say, I get it. I understand everything is happening. But guess what? I've got some good news. You can repent of your sins. You could be baptized in Jesus' name. You can receive the Holy Ghost, and that, my friend, is the answer. The answer is sitting at the table with somebody with nobody else around and walking them through the scripture. And reconciliation happens, and then we affect somebody else, and they go out and affect somebody else, and they say, I was a wreck. I was messed up. I didn't know where I was going. I was just following after the world, but I got hooked up to the church of the living God. I started to go to the house of the Lord. David said, my foot had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But I had to get back to the house of God so that I can get my head screwed on straight. There is no other answer. Everything else falls short. Everything else is just a throw in desperation of trying to make something happen. But I'm standing on a rock today. I'm standing on a sure foundation. I'm standing on a rock that was... When you get a hold of this, everything about your life transforms. And we have to leave father and mother, sister and brother and aunt and uncle and family, and leave the understanding or the conversation that we've got the same skin color. Let me tell you something. When you get in the house of the Lord, you start to gravitate towards people of the name. And if you're white, you're my brother. If you're black, you're my brother. If you're Hispanic, you're my brother. If you're Asian, you're my brother. That's why we come to the house of the Lord, so we can see what it looks like, so we can see what God destined in the earth. Easy for you to say your wife doesn't look like you. Let me tell you something. I pray God send me a godly, apostolic lady. Black, white, red, yellow. I don't discriminate. God sent me my wife. She happens to be a different color than me on the outside of my skin, but we bleed the same, and we are apostolic, and she rallies around the things that I rally around. And I've got babies in the house of the Lord, and they are the example of what it looks like to be racially reconciled. None of that stuff matters. You know what matters? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you repented of your sins? I know we look a little bit different. You tall, I'm short. It's the only differences I see. But is he baptized in Jesus' name? Or can I explain to him that he needs to be baptized in Jesus' name? Not based on how he looks, but based on him being a good candidate for the word of God. Who might be a good candidate for the word of God? Whosoever will. Whoever wants to come and drink from the cup. Whoever wants to come and drink from the fountain of God. Whoever wants to come in the house of the Lord and serve the God that we're able to serve. This is revelatory. If you've been outside, this is revelatory, because we box up and get within groups outside of the church. But when you come to the house of the Lord, you understand. You look around this place and you see all types of people come from all types of situations. And I'm telling you, that was the way that God intended it to be. That's right. We need diversity in the body. I like your Cajun food. I like Mexican food. I like fried chicken. I don't know who to assign that to, but I like fried chicken and watermelon. I don't know where to put that. You like chicken? I thought everybody liked chicken. If you don't like chicken, you're a little weird. Y'all like watermelon, or am I by myself in here? But it's the joints, the strength that the joint supplieth. It's the places where we are different. It's the places where we come in. We leave culture at the door. You can't bring black culture in the church. You can't bring white culture in the church. You can't bring Mexican culture in the church. When you come into the house of the Lord, You step out of your culture and you step into the culture of God. And you step in and you pledge allegiance to the house of the Lord and to the word of God. And wherever the word stands, that's where you'll find me standing. It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're Mexican. I'm standing with truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. If it don't line up with the book, then I can't rock with you. I want to win you because this is what we were created to do. We were created to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And so when my family comes in 20 plus years ago and we don't know anything about the kingdom of God, my mom did, my dad didn't know much, but when we got into the house of the Lord, I'm thankful for that there was a Bible study teacher that would sit down with my family every single Tuesday night and teach us what thus saith the word of God. I'm thankful that when we came in the door that you guys were still praising and worshiping the one true living God. I'm thankful that the pressure of the world didn't chain up the pulpit. I'm thankful that somebody can look me in my face and tell me the truth instead of trying to pat me on my back. I'm thankful that when I came to the house of the Lord, that I can find reconciliation and I don't take it for granted. I know that I'm a blessed man. I understand that I wouldn't be what I'm doing, but God is so good and God is so faithful. Do you know what I'm talking about today? Has God been good to anybody in this house tonight? Think about Brother Cliff, and it's like Brother Booker was talking about earlier, Sunday school kids that may think they're insignificant in the kingdom of God. I think about the story, and I may get it wrong, but Brother Cliff, people were inviting him to church and asking him to come, grown men, women of God, asking him to come to the house of the Lord. And he wouldn't come to the house of the Lord. But one day, a young apostolic, young person came up to him and stood and looked at him without a driver's license, without money in their pocket. And they said, "Will you come to the house of the Lord with me?" And Brother Cliff is sitting in the house of the Lord right now. Because somebody took responsibility, even though they were young, and even though they didn't have a driver's license to drive them to church or money in their pocket, they did their part in the kingdom of God. I'm telling a young person here today, you might not do all the heavy lifting, but the heavy lifting that you are doing makes all the difference. There's somebody in the house of the Lord because a kid stood up under the burden and the responsibility of their day and their time frame. You've got to get an attitude about this. No matter how old you are, God can use you. God can do something in your life. This world is reeling. They're searching. They're looking. They're hoping. They're searching for what you have. Searching for peace. They're searching for hope. They're searching for truth. There are people who only you can reach. We can't pick up this pulpit and drop it off in your school. We can't take this thing to your job, but what we can do is send an apostolic in the school. We can send an apostolic. I believe that there is a revival of the school studies. I believe that God is about to send us something new right now. I believe that God's not done. I know we had a good time then, and we had about 5 studies rocking, but I believe that God's going to do even bigger in this day. Somebody that believes that, you ought to clap your hands right now. There's always a caveat. To whom much is given, much is required. If we think we're going to see revival like generations of old saw it without prayer, we might as well throw in the towel. If we think we could just get by on talent, we've got another thing coming, church. One man said it like this: don't let talent take you where character can't keep you. But we've got to be willing to pay the price that generations of old paid in order to see what they saw. We've got to get it for ourselves. We've got to learn how to sacrifice. We've got to learn how to get in the prayer room. We've got to learn how to push away from the plate. We've got to learn how to do business in the spirit. 2 Corinthians 7 and 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We've got to learn how to pray, church. Mark 9 and 29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We've got to learn how to push away from the plate. We've got to learn how to fast. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved, a workman, which needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to get in the book. Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We've got to be a holy and a separated people from the world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But while I'm here, I want to win souls. I want to reach my city. I want to reach my world. I want to see God do miracles. I don't think God just reserved it for the Old Testament or the old days, but God can do it right now. God can do it right here. God can do it in this city. God can move right where we are. But hear me carefully. The moment that we start misusing these things, young people, listen closely. My God, it's the moment that we lose grip on this day. If you don't know how to use this effectively, get rid of it. It's not worth your soul. It's not worth the revival that God wants to pour out. And I know that sounds crazy, and I actually do believe that we can use these things as a tool. I believe that we can use these things effectively. But the moment that we let the devil slip in and start to use this thing in the way of destruction, it's the moment that we lose it. I'm telling somebody, I want to be a part of the revival that God is sending. I don't want to fall by the wayside. I don't want to be somebody that was outside of the kingdom of God when the rubber meet the road. But I've got to get control of my flesh, and I've got to get control of my phone. Somebody say amen. It's going to take work, church. We got to work. But I believe the people are ready to work. Somebody say amen. I love preaching here because I know that you're ready and able to do everything that God has called us to do. I believe that this church is one of the greatest churches that the world has ever seen. And I don't just say that because I come here. I've been around the block just a little bit, and God's doing great things here, but God's not done. That balcony is going to be full. That section's going to be full. God's going to do a work in this city, and God's going to fill the house. I know it's nice to look at. I know it's a great building, but God wants to fill this thing up. Does anybody believe what I'm talking about today? Does anybody believe that God can pour out a revival in this city? Do you believe that God is on our side? Do you believe that we're going to be able to walk in the promises and in the plan of God? My God, stand with me all over this building. I think Dr. King said it well. On the night before he was assassinated, in his very last speech, he said this. He said, if I was standing at the beginning of time with the possibility of taking a kind of general and panoramic view of the whole of human history up to now, and the Almighty said to me, Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in? I would take my mental flight by Egypt, and I would watch God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through, or rather across the Red Sea, through the wilderness and on towards the Promised Land. And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus, and I will see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, and Aristophanes assembled around the Parthenon. And I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discussed the great and eternal issues of reality. But I wouldn't stop there. I would go on even to the great heyday of the Roman Empire. And I would see the developments around there through various emperors and leaders. But I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance and get a quick picture of all that the Renaissance did for the cultural and aesthetic life of man. But I wouldn't stop there. I would even go by the way that the man for who I am named had his habitat. And I would watch Martin Luther as he tacked his 95 theses on the door at the Church of Wittenberg, but I wouldn't stop there. I would come up even to 1863 and watch a vacillating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of his nation and come with the eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to just live a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy because this is my day. Suicide, homicide, drugs, homosexuality, social media, sports, Hollywood, racial tension, not to mention spiritual strongholds that time doesn't allow us to explore. It's 2020, people. This is our day. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that's ready for the challenge of this day? Is there an apostolic church in the city of Birmingham that'll rise up in the midst of the chaos, that'll rise up in the midst of the sin, that'll rise up in the midst of the struggle outside and declare, this is my day? Somebody taking responsibility and shouldering up under the burden of this day. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that believes what I'm preaching today? You ought to come on to the front and let's pray and let's cry out to God. I believe that God is going to give us a revival like we've never seen. But we need laborers and we need people to work in his kingdom. Somebody to say, this is my moment. This is my opportunity. This is my day. Somebody come and pray all over the house. Or is there a young person that'll get a hold of what I'm preaching right now? Is there a young married person that'll get a hold of what I'm preaching right now? Is there an adult that'll get a hold of what I'm preaching right now? That's it. Somebody cry out to God right now. Somebody cry out to God. Tell God to give you the strength. Tell God to give you the power. Tell God to give you the anointing and the understanding to operate in this day.
So you can use me.
Give myself away.
Somebody praying in the balcony right now that God's going to fill it up. I want you to pray right now that God will send people, that God will send souls to the harvest. Come on, church, this is our day. This is our time. This is our opportunity. This is the place that God chose for us to live in. We've got to get a hold of the day.
I give myself away.
All of you know.
up their posts right now and crying out to the throne of heaven right now that God will send us revival, that God would use us, that God would do a work in our city.
Life is not my own.
Life is not my own.
I want some young men to step outside right there in the city and just cry out towards the city. Pray that God will send us souls. Pray that God would fill up this church. Pray that God would send people that are searching for peace, that are searching for answers, that are searching for hope. Let them know that there's apostolics on a hill right now that's willing and ready and able to take on the day. Come on, keep praying all over this house. Push through it right now. Go to another level right now. Push it right now.
Yeah.
King.